Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
News breaking everywhere, some good, some bad, live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, I swear to God, sometimes I'm hosting a Wisconsin sports talk radio show. I've got Bucks and Packers news everywhere. I might as well just find a Badger story, you know? I'm just making a Milwaukee show. Good to have you in. Joy Taylor's joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to this game tonight.
Yep. Could be the beginning of something very special for Milwaukee. So I want to start with the NFL because we have two bits of information on Aaron Rodgers. So the first bit seems small, but it's something. As we often say on this show, everything is something, nothing is everything. So Wayne Larrivee is the voice of the Green Bay Packers. He's the play-by-play announcer for the Green Bay Packers. He recently said on the NFL Network, and it seems inconsequential and small, but that the house Aaron Rodgers lives in, they have scheduled one of those deep cleanings for people who aren't in the house for 5 or 6 months. That's the second bit of information we have heard on Aaron Rodgers. The other being 3 weeks ago, he rejoined the Green Bay Country Club. You wouldn't do that if you weren't coming back. So it does appear he's not going to hold out. And Aaron Rodgers getting the house cleaned, Country Club, he's coming back to the Packers. Here's the second bit of information. And big picture, I think we all knew this, but Adam Schefter is reporting for the first time, tweeting this morning, that the Packers offered Aaron Rodgers a 2-year contract, an extension that would have kept him in Green Bay for 5 years and made him not only the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, but the highest paid player. He said, no thanks. So it's not about the money. This goes way deeper than money. He wants to control his future, and he can't in Green Bay. Now, there's a couple of things to think about here. Number one, it's much easier to move Aaron Rodgers after this season. Two reasons. Number one, his dead cap hit goes from $38 million to $17 million. It's tough to trade him now. You take a big dead cap hit. Number two is Jordan Love has another year to improve. More reps, more camps, more practices. The other thing is, there is major risk for both parties. What if Aaron gets hurt? He'll then be in December a 38-year-old older quarterback with a list of injuries. He's already missed 17 games as a Packers starter. Brady's old. He doesn't miss games. Eli was old. He doesn't miss games. Aaron's missed 17. If he gets hurt, how many teams want him? Remember, here's the second thing. 9 quarterbacks have been taken just in the first round the last 2 years, and most of them look like they can play. You have a shrinking market of teams that need a quarterback. So the reason everybody keeps mentioning the Denver Broncos, because they're in the AFC, and Green Bay ideally would like to get Aaron in the other conference so they don't see him guaranteed every year. They don't have to go through him to get to the Super Bowl. And the second thing is, there is a shrinking number of teams that need a quarterback. The older guys are playing longer, and the younger guys are better sooner. There's just fewer and fewer teams. I was looking at a mock draft the other night. There's 4 quarterbacks going to be taken, one from Oklahoma, one from North Carolina. There's 4 more quarterbacks going in the first round next year, and over half of these guys now are hitting in the last decade. So remember, the longer you wait to trade somebody, the market changes. The market shrinks. Teams aren't going to sit around and wait for the Packers. The other thing that's not being discussed here is that generally the way it works for all businesses, media, sports, law offices, if somebody's unhappy, you want to get them out of the room. You want to get them out of the locker room. You want to get them out of the business. Because think about Aaron and his personality. When he's happy, he can be kind of condescending, right? If he's unhappy this year, how does he act? What happens to the team? Is he dismissive? Is he not exactly a team guy? There's more teams that will pass on him. And there's going to be a lot of people like, no thanks. We got 4 more quarterbacks in the first round. I mean, Tom Brady, the ultimate team guy, the best player ever, had three teams that really wanted him. I mean, really were all in on him. Three. Aaron Rodgers has injuries, is more difficult, is going to be much more expensive than Tom Brady was. Your list of teams, it's not going to be 9, 10, 12 teams. It could be 3 or 4. And if this year is snippy and it unravels, remember, before last year, Aaron had declined 3 straight years. Gradually, he hadn't fallen off the cliff, but there's a reason Green Bay went and drafted a quarterback. Aaron's numbers were slowly declining. Then he pops last year, and they're kind of trapped. Okay, he's not getting worse. He's actually ready to go in Matt LaFleur's second year. So there's a lot of risk here. Aaron could get hurt. Aaron could turn off teams. Remember, the old quarterbacks in this league are playing longer, and the young guys are better sooner. The market is shrinking for people who want to pay $35 million for a quarterback who can be arrogant, difficult, call his own team out. So that's the latest. 2 bits of information. Looks like he's coming back, and doesn't matter if Green Bay makes him the highest paid player in the NFL. He's not interested. This goes way, way deeper than money. All right, so we said yesterday that, dynasties can often surprise us. We didn't see the Golden State Warriors winning a championship before they did. Like, we didn't see the very early days of the Golden State Warrior dynasty. Now, a lot of times, you know, like LeBron goes to Miami and we expect it to be a dynasty, and it's almost never as good as we think. Dynasties never last as long as you think in the NFL, in the NBA, and baseball. They never do. Things change. But let's say Milwaukee wins tonight. They are favored. I think they'll win easily. I think the Suns look fatigued. And they would be a dynasty that wouldn't be from a glamorous city. You know, they were slow and patient. They've developed players. They've just dabbled in free agency. We've had that dynasty, and it wasn't that long ago. It was called the San Antonio Spurs. Smaller market. They land a super talented big. One is coached by Greg Popovich. One is coached by his disciple. And again, they're just on the fringes of free agency. In both cases, Spurs and now the Bucks, timing has been very advantageous. When did the Spurs take the league over? When Kobe and Shaq broke up. They won 3 of the next 5. Look at the Bucks. LeBron and Kawhi leave the East. I mean, who's going to challenge Milwaukee in the East? Brooklyn. You got 2 brittle players, and you don't know. They fell apart this year. The core 3 for the Spurs. You get a big, then you get a very good wing, Manu Ginobili, and a top 10-12 guard, Tony Parker. What are the Bucks? You get an athletic big, you get Chris Middleton on the wing, and you get Drew Holiday. By the way, what's even crazier is that Manu was a second-round pick, Middleton, the wing, the second-round pick, Tony Parker late first, Drew Holiday was drafted late first. So their talent is perceived as the same. In both cases, the big, Tim Duncan and Giannis, free throw issues, loyal, humble, gracious, great on both ends of the floor. The best player when you combine both ends of the floor. Both had won 2 MVPs, and neither has the ego, Duncan or Giannis, that they need the last shot in the big games. Duncan was about winning. Giannis is about winning. Giannis and Duncan, if you do word association, driven, hungry, mature, coachable, healthy, overwhelmingly healthy. So we've seen a team like the Bucks. They could be the northern version of San Antonio. They're not real glamorous. They land a great star who's mature beyond his years, the best defensive player at his position, one of the top offensive players at his position, coachable, just gets better. His peak lasts 10 years. You got Popovich at one, a disciple of Popovich at the other. you have a system where the people surrounding him are not needy. Manu and Tony Parker, Middleton, Drew Holiday, understand their role in a system. So, and I'll say this, the Kobe-Shaq divorce ended up being the opening for the Spurs. And LeBron and Kawhi heading west very well could be the opening Milwaukee needs. All right, good stuff today. We have an NFL story that it's something. In fact, when you hear this, it is enough that you will think less of the team. And if you really look at this team, they had a big splashy headline this offseason, but it's another smaller headline that erodes the depth and quality of their football team and potentially puts them on the outs, not only of the Super Bowl, but maybe of winning their division. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Body wash, body bars, colognes, deodorants, CREMO, Cremo products. Amazon has them, cremocompany.com. Hair pomade, use it every day. So this is something. The best division in football, and it's not really disputable, is the NFC West, where I have the Rams and the Seahawks at the top. San Francisco loaded. We worry about Garoppolo's health third, and Arizona's easily the best roster for a fourth-place team in the NFL. It's a great division. And Arizona actually has given the Rams, the Niners, and the Seahawks fits. That's with a young coach that we don't even know if he's going to be around in the NFL after this year, and a very young quarterback. But Cam Akers, the number one running back, a really, really 4.5 yards a carry running back for the Rams, suffered a torn Achilles while training. That is not good. So Malcolm Brown, and this didn't make a lot of news, but he was their second back. He's their power back. He got moved to Miami. So now they don't have the wiggle, the explosive back, nor do they have their power back. And remember, McVay's offense is really like Kyle Shanahan's offense. We think of them as high-flying and explosive and dynamic. They're based on a strong running game. So now the Rams suddenly have no depth at running back, no number one running back. They also lost their number two tight end, Gerald Everett, to Seattle. Their defensive coordinator is now the Chargers head coach. Their passing game coordinator is now the Seahawks offensive coordinator. They lost Michael Brockers to Detroit. They lost Malcolm Brown, didn't make news, to Miami, and they lost their top safety, John Johnson, to Cleveland, and their third corner, Troy Hill, to Cleveland. So the headline, the big headlines, Matt Stafford and the Rams. Totally headline worthy. But just say it out loud. They just lost their number one running back for the year, their number one power back, their number two tight end, their number one safety, their number three corner, their defensive coordinator. Oh, yeah, their center, Austin Blythe. He's gone now, too. You know, we think of the Cowboys as dysfunctional and not a Super Bowl contender. We think of the Rams as highly functional and a Super Bowl contender with a great coach. But they're a lot closer than you think. They've got a handful of high-end stars and very little depth. And right now, the Rams, they've got three stars. Jalen Ramsey's a great corner. A little temperamental, but a great corner. Aaron Donald's the best defensive lineman in football. And Matt Stafford's great. And they are now not as good at center, not as good at running back, not quite as deep in the secondary, not as good at safety. They lost a super bright defensive coordinator. Maybe the Cowboys and the Rams are not that different. A lot of high-end players, not a lot of depth, and one or two injuries from being a non-playoff team. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
This is why you have amendments to your predictions.
Now, this will be an amendment. Like, I'm not saying, you know, we know it's always the drip, 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 the water faucet thing we always talk about. You can lose a star like Aaron Donald. You're not the same team. But you start little bits and pieces, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, they're not 11-6, they're probably 10-7, and in that division,
that's not good enough.
Is Cam Akers in that division worth one win? Eating
yes.
The clock. That's what I said this morning. Yes, absolutely. He's worth one win, especially when you consider Malcolm Brown's gone. Now you're in disarray at running back, and Sean McVay's offense, we see it as high-flying. It's really like Kyle Shanahan. It starts with a power running game.
So the Suns are facing a win-or-go-home game six against the Bucks tonight. They've lost three straight after going up 0-2 in the series, but Chris Paul still feels good about the situation his team is in tonight.
Coach and everybody been saying, if you went to the beginning of the season and said we had a chance to be where we are right now, would you take it? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we get a chance to determine the outcome. You know, it's not like the game is going to be simulated or somebody else got to play. You know, we get a chance. We control our own destiny. So I think that's the exciting part about it.
It's a good mentality to go into an elimination game with.
I mean, let's be honest. We all like Milwaukee tonight. It feels like it's not just that they won, but it's like every game.
They have the momentum.
And Phoenix is looking smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But what if tonight Mikal Bridges or Jay Crowder are hot? Remember, the Suns led by 9 points against Milwaukee the last time they were in Milwaukee in the fourth.
Yep.
So it's, and even as much as Milwaukee dominated them in Phoenix, it's a very close game down the stretch. So these two teams, Milwaukee's not the kind of team that generally shoots the lights out and has one of those warrior runs for 8 minutes where you're like, all right, we're down by 32.
Right.
Like, you can be dominated by Milwaukee and trail by eight. I mean, it's a different kind of domination.
That's why I don't know what my prediction is tonight. Fox Bet has the Bucks favored by 5.
I like Milwaukee.
That feels like a lot for an elimination game.
But, you know, it's interesting. 4-5 has been kind of the number the last several games. So, you know, again, if the Kansas City Chiefs, I told you, played a perfect first half, you'd be like, oh, they're up 28-7, right? But there are certain teams in football that they could dominate you. They're not going to light the scoreboard up. The Bucks can literally physically dominate a half and be up by, right?
No, they're not going to blow you out.
No, the Shaq Kobe
now,
Lakers have a great.
They might cover at the end of
that's
the game,
right.
But they're not going to blow you out through the course of the game.
You can shoot
and
your
it's never going to feel out of reach.
And Phoenix is the kind of team that can shoot their way back into games. Crowder shoots a lot of threes, and Chris Paul at the mid-range, and Booker's obviously a star scorer, so you can hang around Milwaukee and be outplayed.
Booker is the least of my concerns. They're going to need a big game from Ayton tonight, and they're going to need a significant contribution from Chris Paul with minimum mistakes to win this game. Like, I'm not counting the Suns out tonight. I think it's going to be a good game. I predicted it goes 7. It's an uphill battle for the Suns. All the momentum is with the Bucks. They're feeling good. They've been playing more physical. Giannis is unstoppable. So make the adjustments it takes to work around that, and everybody's got to have a big game. I think you talked about this before. You know, to the way that Chris Paul said that Monty phrased it, would you take this opportunity? If the beginning of the season I told you this is where you're going to be, would you take that? Of course you would. Like you said, like with your kids, if I told you when we first had kids, you and Ann, like this is where the kids were going to end up, would you take it? Yes, of course you would.
Yes.
Like this is a great scenario to be in. It feels desperate, but you're in an elimination game six. Generally, somebody is. So take advantage of the situation. It's up to you.
Joy, the Bucks have not won since 1971. Is it possible tonight, Milwaukee on the cusp of a championship?
All the pressure's on Milwaukee right now.
Gets tight, and in the last 6 minutes, everybody's on the edge of their seat, and the Suns are playing with house money, get hot from three, and steal one. Absolutely.
So the Cowboys head out to California as they prepare for their training camp this week to begin, and they've got a lot of eyes on them, especially since they're going to be featured on Hard Knocks this season. And Stephen Jones is excited for things to get started. He said, we're pumped up. All these things leading up to the season are huge. Obviously, our world has been through a lot with the pandemic. You can't just assume you're going to flip the switch and everything is going to be fine. We feel a lot of buildup, including Hard Knocks, is a good thing to get people fired up about reconnecting and rolling. They went 6-10 in McCarthy's first season as a head coach, and they've missed the playoffs the last two seasons. You have them at 9-8 this season.
Yeah.
With Washington at 10-7.
Yeah.
Giants at 8-9, and the Eagles 4-13.
Listen, sometimes the advantage is where you play, and they play in a division where the Eagles are completely in rebuild mode. The Giants aren't, but don't know if their quarterback's good. And Washington's got the best defense, but we are looking at Ryan Fitzpatrick. Is this the ninth team in 17 years? So that's why Cam Akers to the Rams feels like a staggering loss because of that division. Dallas has massive questions on defense. Rams defense was number one in the NFL. The Cowboys was the worst in terms of points allowed. And you would not be shocked if they won the division.
No, I wouldn't be shocked if they won the division. No. I actually think they will win the division. No. While I do like the momentum that Washington has built, the foundation that Ron Rivera has brought into there, the culture he's brought in there, their defense is incredible. I'm sorry, we all like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't trust him as the everyday starting quarterback in Washington. I understand this is a division, but I don't understand that move.
Right.
It's obviously not a long-term move.
Right.
Ron Rivera felt like maybe they have some plans they're going to, you know, attack next year. I think they're going to be too good to be in a situation to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
Regardless, I could see Dak coming back and having a huge year and compensating for what the defense is not, especially in this division. But they do have a lot going on right now. You have Dak coming back. You have that defense. What's going on with McCarthy? You have Hard Knocks. Everyone is still dealing with the pandemic. It's a lot. But one thing the Cowboys always are is interesting. So Tom Brady has said he wants to play until 45 many times. He's just a couple weeks away from turning 44. And his trainer, Alex Guerrero, believes that Brady is still on track to hit that goal.
I mean, yeah, I expect him to play this year and next year. I try to keep his body 3 years ahead of where we're going to be. So I'm thinking about not just next year, but I'm thinking about, well, what if they feel so good at 45, he wants to play 46? I don't know. So I better plan. I better plan to think about how I need to get his body prepared for 46 or 47. Like, I don't know. It might be 45. It might be 44. But I just know that I want to hold up my end of the bargain of working hard to support his goal of playing to 45.
Well, his contract is through age 45. So he has 2 years left on his contract.
It may very well come down to how does this season end. If it ended with an injury, if it ended ugly, maybe it's...
I think if it doesn't end with an injury, I could see him playing through this. Yeah. He's a goal guy. He takes care of his body. So it's never been... I've never been in the camp of, like, Tom Brady is done. I've always felt like that was a huge waste of time. I think people are going to start talking about that with LeBron as well, and I think that's also a waste of everyone's breath. These are two athletes in our lifetimes that, for the most part, have been Iron Men. They take excellent care of their body. It is a part of their daily routine. You know you are what you habitually do, and they take care of themselves. Now, they've also been blessed to not have these freak accidents as well. It's a little bit of luck involved also, but if you take care of your body, you are more than likely to be healthy. Yeah. I can see him playing through it. I don't think Tom is one of those guys who's going to play it out until it's ugly. Like, he's not going to be one of those guys that we're all like...
Well, also, his brand TB12 is about preservation and life elevation, and so that would go against his brand. His brand is ageless. Tom wants to leave...
looking ageless.
That's right. It's good for his brand. So
exactly.
He didn't start this brand about 5 years ago, 4 years ago. He really started putting time into it and building it, and this brand... doesn't feel nearly as cool if he wobbles for the last 2 years and the NFL looks like an old man.
Yeah, the Bucks are at the White House today and he's up there cracking jokes.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. There you go.
Let me see.
He's right next to Bruce Arians.
God, look at that.
Is that fantastic or what?
It's great. The ageless Tom Brady.
That's amazing. That makes me happy. Joy with the news.
That's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So our lead story today was Adam Schefter reporting the Packers offered Aaron Rodgers a 2-year extension, 5 years total, highest paid player in the league. And he said, I'm not interested. So if Fox offered us highest paid blank in the country and we said, no, thanks, it's over. It's just a matter of time. And, you know, And I said is that both Green Bay and Aaron have something to lose. He's an older quarterback who's been nicked up several times in the last 3 and 4 years. And that if you roll the dice on this, Aaron gets hurt. He's not attractive. The market shrinks. There's just too many good young quarterbacks out there and the old guys are playing longer. And for Green Bay, you're not going to get nearly as much if he's coming off another collarbone injury or another injury. And, you know, that's why I've said I don't think it's out of the question that Green Bay, if they got off to a great start and Denver got off to a terrible start and Vic Fangio's there is clawing for – it'll be the last Vic Fangio head coaching job in his career, and he's begging the general manager to pull the trigger because Drew Locke isn't cutting it against Justin Herbert and Derek Carr And, you know, Patrick Mahomes. Denver's situation is they have the fourth best quarterback in their division, and we're not even sure he's going to make it. And so Aaron's the best quarterback in his division. So I could see this at the trading deadline. And Aaron's a guy that would pick up an offense fast in Denver. It wouldn't take him forever. So, but here is, and I've said before, I don't like being trapped. I'm a fairly restless person. And this is where I sympathize with Aaron, is that he's trapped. And this is why I hate the franchise tag for quarterbacks. I think it's great for guards, weak side linebackers, tight ends, kickers. I think the franchise tag stinks for star quarterbacks. That basically, he can't go anywhere. And they could franchise tag him for years. I think it's awful for quarterbacks and awful for Aaron. Because like Deshaun Watson's case, if you're carrying a dysfunctional organization, and Green Bay's not dysfunctional, it's a lousy place to be in life. And you can say, oh, he's well compensated. Well, Aaron's going to be well compensated wherever he plays in this league. You want to feel like you've got an organization that's got your back, supports you, gives you the elements that can go up against the Russell Wilsons and the Bradys and the Mahomes and win. But I do think there is some leverage for Aaron here, is that Aaron's got a lot of options and a lot of interest in life. We saw the Jeopardy thing. He kind of, you know, he travels. He's got a beautiful Hollywood fiance. Aaron's leverage is, I'm not going to a crappy team. I will retire. And Jets, if Zach Wilson busts, like, he's not going there. He's not going to Detroit. He's not going to Houston. He's not going to Philadelphia. So it does limit. Green Bay has got to send him somewhere. Because if I was Aaron, and I think I'm a good employee, but if I was Aaron, I would make it very clear at some point, if you start hearing trade rumors, and just say, I will retire unless this is a legitimate playoff roster or an experienced head coach. I would just come out and just say it, because that will scare all the teams off. I do think there are 5-6 teams that are pretty interesting for Aaron, and that Aaron, I think, would actually be a good fit, and it would work. The New York Giants. The defense is great. The defense is, talent-wise, I think, better than Green Bay. The Miami Dolphins. They got everything except the quarterback. What if Tua, by Thanksgiving, were like, it's not working? The New Orleans Saints. Again, great GM, great coach. They go big in free agency. Tremendous offensive line. The Washington football team. Ron Rivera has been to a Super Bowl. That defense is the best in their division. They've added some really nice pieces. They have added Curtis Samuel to an already pretty good wide receiving core. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, they feel a little like the Packers sometimes, are kind of burrowed into the past. But you do have a strong family, an excellent GM, a great defense. You got to upgrade the offensive line at some point, because I think it's the worst Steeler offensive line in a decade. But I do think these five teams, the Dolphins, the Saints, Washington, Pittsburgh, Giants, Aaron would be the kind of guy that could take that roster, elevate it. It'd be great. But, you know, this, the one thing where I support Aaron is star quarterbacks, and Aaron's got his issues too. He's trapped. Green Bay can trade him wherever they want. He can't go anywhere. If he holds out, he loses money. Now, Green Bay's not as good as if he holds out, but you know they're not going to lose money. So I do think with the Schefter news today, you've got to consider, where are the spots? What is out there? Where does he fit? And I think those are 5 or 6. Now, Daniel Jones and Tua would have to struggle this year, or at least struggle enough so the people inside the building are like, we can't get to where we want to get. I think Daniel Jones, my opinion, probably going to make it. The Giants have shown a history of being pretty patient with their quarterbacks. Took Eli Manning a long time. So I think Daniel Jones is going to make it. I don't with Tua. So the Miami one, to me, is the top of the list, because you can move him to the AFC. That football team's ready to win. That football team could play for the AFC Championship up against the Buffalo or Kansas City if you gave them Aaron Rodgers. I don't doubt that for a second. I think the coach is great. The special teams are great. The defense is great. And now they've added Will Fuller to a pretty decent wide receiving core, upgraded the O-line.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Light was a guy I always thought, as a three-time Super Bowl winner and a three-time Pro Bowler with the Patriots on the offensive line, who would retire seamlessly. He's just got a big, broad life, and he is joining us now live, brought to you by Lowe's, part of the home team, 12 NFL players, Red Vest Associates, a part of the Lowe's 100 Homeowner Initiative. Before we get to that, Matt, it is interesting. When, I mean, you know, you were always a system guy. You know what I mean? You were coachable. You came in. You were low maintenance. You're exactly what Belichick loved. And then Tom and Bill, at the end, like any 20-year marriage, I think Tom got a little agitated by some things. Were you ultimately surprised that Tom decided, listen, I'm out? Did that surprise you at all?
No, not at all. And it's funny you bring up the fact that I was coachable. You know, most people, when they have like a draft review or something, they talk about, oh, the guy moves really well laterally, or he's strong, he's athletic. I didn't have any of those attributes. They just said he was highly coachable. Literally, that's all I had going for me. Now, on the other hand, a guy like Brady and a coach like Bill Belichick, you know, that was honestly the perfect mesh of, you know, what drives people, right? And sometimes you clash a little bit with your coaches when, you know, one guy's super competitive and the other one maybe looks at things a little bit differently. Those two were on the same page with everything. But towards the end, I think it really came down to the fact that, hey, you know, I'm at a point in my career, if you're Tom Brady, where I want to start taking on some different roles. I want to look at things differently. I want to coach a little bit more. I want to do this. I want to do that. And in a system like the Patriots system and how Bill Belichick coaches doesn't really allow for that. That's not negative, in my opinion. It just is what it is. And so it was time for that separation. It was time for him to go do his thing. And, you know, as it stands right now, it looks like a pretty good decision.
Yeah, it sure does. You know, the one criticism I've said of Belichick, he drafts the offensive line well. He drafts the defense well. He drafts the secondary very well. It's an organization that has missed on a lot of receivers, and they're not terribly dynamic, Matt, on the perimeter right now. And I thought in Tom's last 2 years, you would see him on the sidelines. Not a lot of separation. You know, Tom having to throw into tiny windows. Are you surprised how much Belichick, without Tom, struggled last year?
No, I'm not surprised. I think you're not really comparing apples to apples, right? Like I said this before the season ever kicked off, that Bill Belichick is not viewing the 2020 season as anything but an extended training camp. Now, that's not to be disrespectful for the guys that won a championship with the Buccaneers or anybody else that played that season. I think the reason is that the rules of engagement weren't clear. No coach in the NFL understood what was really going to happen week to week. Who was going to be up, who was going to be down, who was going to pass a test and then fail a test, but really not even have COVID, right? So all of that said, I think what you're going to see this season will be a lot more of an indicator of what life is truly like post-Tom Brady in New England.
You know, it's interesting, Matt. So they can go two ways. I tend to think that their division is better, and I think they have a chance to be a playoff team, although I don't know if they stack up quite with Buffalo right now. They're not as dynamic at wide receiver. But I don't think you can experiment a lot in this division anymore. I think Miami's well coached. I think Buffalo's well coached. The Jets are still the Jets, but they're more talented than previous years. So I would go with Cam. My takeaway is he's a power running quarterback. I think with this O-line and defense, you can get into the playoffs with Cam. But there are people, Matt, that are going to say, let's start over. Cam's not the future. Take me inside how you think Bill views this in a more viable AFC East. It's a real division now, Matt. Do you go Cam or do you go the kid?
Look, I mean, I think you've got it right. I think that, just from the outside, right, if you didn't know anything about the inside workings of the organization, Bill Belichick likes to go with a veteran. He likes to go with a proven guy, especially at the quarterback position. So, you know, I think his tendency is going to go with the veteran. Let the young guy see what it's like. Let the young guy see, you know, what's expected and how things work week to week and get in a rhythm and study from somebody like Cam. I also think that, again, what you saw last year, how they utilized Cam Newton, his strengths, his weaknesses, how they tried to exploit, you know, defenses and things of that nature, that's going to be so different this year. So hang on, wait it out. Expect a lot more out of Cam Newton and how they work with him within this offense. And I would look to see him as your opening week one starter for the Patriots.
So, Matt, we've got 17 games this year. I have speculated that I can see teams going to their interior linemen and saying, fellas, we're going to give you week nine off. We're going to, the bye week and the following week that you may have to, especially for veteran linemen, you know, a receiver or a corner, it may be different, or a quarterback or special teamers. But I do wonder, do you think just adding a game, I have a feeling that maybe practice lightens up. Maybe some veteran interior offensive linemen, you give them extra weeks off. So I don't buy this Brady's going to go 17-0 nonsense. I don't think anybody is. What do you think the added game does?
You know, I don't think it'll do a whole lot, and here's why, right? In the game today, and this isn't, you know, coming from a guy who talks about, you know, uphill both ways, no shoes in the snow, but the game is different, right? They take care of players in every way, not just at practice, not just in training camp, but week to week, you know, the number of hits, the number of times there's collisions, all that stuff has been so drastically reduced that you almost need a 17th game to get into top playing performance for the playoffs. I mean, these guys don't get very many opportunities to work at their craft and do all the little things, you know? So I think that they're going to be able to rest these guys like they have been throughout the normal process. I don't think it's going to be a major burden for most players because, you know, look, the game is played a lot differently today than it was 5, 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah, a lot of guys don't even, the starters don't even play in the preseason at all anymore. By the way, you're part of Lowe's home team. What are you doing?
Yeah, look, we're kicking off the 100 hometown projects. We're the first project. We're building a 40-foot covered bridge. We got this bridge behind me, if you can see it. It's a model, but the real one's 40 feet. We got 16 kids that are here at our camp in Greenville, Ohio, and we're excited to be a part of this. We're excited for all the support that Lowe's has given us. This is going to be a fun week for these kids, and they're going to learn a lot.
By the way, all the offensive linemen who are my friends, they retire, and they all lose 50 pounds. Now, I'm not going to judge your body, but my guess is, Matt, all my buddies, Jeff Saturday, Damian Woody, they're all like, oh, I don't have to lift weights anymore. Give me, what was 12 months after you retired look like for you physically?
Yeah, the same actually for a decade. You could extend that for a decade. I don't work out like I used to. I don't do anything in weight rooms and gyms and all that stuff. You know, you try to eat healthy. You try to take things, stress off your body. But you look at a Jeff Saturday. You look at a Nick Hardwick. You look at a Steve Hutchinson. You know, all these guys that I played with and the ones that do it right are able to drop it. Now, on the flip side, Colin, there's some that have tipped the scales the wrong way. But for the most part, we try to, you know, lessen. I'm still a 290-pound mammal. I've got about 30 pounds I could give up.
Well, maybe today working on that bridge, you'll burn some calories. Matt, great seeing you again. Happy for you, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Colin. Take care.
You bet. You know, he brought up, Joy, an interesting point is, and this has happened over, you know, sports change. I mean, we're very analytical in baseball and the NBA. And it is different. Practice in football is not like it used to be. It is just, I mean, your brother, the Hall of Fame football player, I mean, it was cold weather, no indoor facility.
Or Miami weather, no indoor facility.
I can remember, I've said this before, the craziest thing to think about, that as recently as the late 80s and early 90s, you could get on a flight, 6 a.m. flight out of your city, and the NBA team would be on it.
I thought you were going to say that people could be smoking next to you.
Well, in 1989, there were still some airlines that allowed smoking, which doesn't even make sense. But, you know, until a handful of teams, Mavericks were one of them, that went and bought their own team plane.
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't even, it'd be laughable
to
be sitting
next to you.
Giannis. I'm literally sitting next to Giannis. That was happening, I think, in the early 90s. Can you imagine getting on a plane and Bill Russell and Wilt were on the plane? And so I guess my point is, players are treated better. The nutrition's better. The training's better. The plyometrics. Practice isn't as hard. And so that was, by the way, the owner's argument in adding a 17 game. We don't practice like we used to.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a collision sport, so it worries me. But well, I think, like anything else, you're going to adjust your ways around it.
Good stuff. By the way, Navien tankless water heaters, 15-year limited warranty. Only heat water when you need it. That's why it never runs out. Tanklessmadesimple.com.